Greetings, everyone. I'm Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication. And today we are here with Courtney Werner, author of How Rhetoric and Composition Described and Defined New Media at the Start of the 21st Century, which you can read in the June 2017 CCC. With me also is editorial assistant Jens Lloyd. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Great. It was a lot of fun to read and publish your article, having done a lot of work in media studies and new media in my own career. I want to ask you, as I do all of our authors, to tell us a little bit about the origin story of this particular piece. How did you come to do this research?
It's a good question. It's one that I get asked a lot, especially by colleagues in my English department who are not in the field of ret comp. So how did I come to this? Well, I came to this with some cognitive dissonance, actually as a graduate student working on my dissertation. I was really irked by the way that people use the term new media, because I would drive to campus in the morning and I would hear on NPR this term being thrown around, and then I'd read in Computers and Composition about new media, and I'd look at articles in Kairos and think about Cheryl Ball's discussion of new media scholarship. And the two uses of this term just didn't seem to match up for me. And I started to get very frustrated with it, just thinking, well, what are people talking about when they say new media? And does it mean something different for me than it does for my sister, who's not an academic, or my students who, you know, at that point were using mobile devices, but not to the extent that we're using them now. So in some ways, this piece came to me or came out of my dissertation and an area of really trying to figure out what new media could be useful for in some ways. I love computers. When I was in high school, I learned programming, basic C++, and I don't think everybody was that fortunate at that time. And I sort of carried that love with me throughout my college and my graduate work. So new media to me meant something different, I think, than it meant to a lot of other people, especially my literature colleagues at the time, who were pretty resistant. And now we see a movement away, actually, from this term new media, or at least from defining it and really articulating theories about it in our own field. But we see the digital humanities sort of picking up on this term and using it more as a buzzword in some of their research and in course design and in talking about writing content with students in our English departments. So I guess not only my cognitive dissonance, but also this need to sort of understand new media from a scholastic viewpoint as well as a pop culture viewpoint, and trying to bring the two together. What would it mean for us as rhetoric and composition scholars to be talking about new media? Why would we talk about it? Why would our students care about it? Why should we expect them to produce it, to think about it, to critique it, to tell their friends about it? And what does it mean for our future as a discipline, right? Because one of the other things that I'm personally interested in is the development of our different subfields and how we sometimes all get along and sometimes don't get along. What we think of as a subfield versus something that is true for everybody in the field. And those are big questions. And so new media plays a certain role in those questions and how we think about our overarching discourse and who we are as a discipline. So those are some of the issues I was grappling with as I was reading through our past scholarship and thinking about where we might go as a field in the future, you know? And in some ways, I don't know that we've really gone toward the digital. I think in some ways we have to, and we have. But in other ways, you know, we see a lot of talk right now about different sorts of social activism and progressivism and moving forward in ways that are socially driven rather than digitally driven. And so that's something I didn't anticipate, but has actually come out of writing this article. I taught a class just this past fall, and my students, I asked them to think about social activism and how new media played a role in social activism, and if it did or not. And they had some really interesting things to say about it. So I'm kind of curious to see where that will take us in the future, too.
I love this line of inquiry. I went to my first computers and writing conference in 1995. And in subsequent conferences, we thought, oh, in 20 years, everybody will be doing, quote unquote, everybody will be doing digital writing. I mean, we were very much felt, we were sort of succumbed to the rhetoric of the World Wide Web and its global transformation. Now, 22 years later, I think things are very different, but computers and composition, computers and writing isn't the center of the field in quite the ways that we might have thought it would be. And yet, as you were just suggesting, digitality is sort of everywhere. And so I'm kind of curious to hear a little bit more about what you think has happened. What is new media?
What is new media? Oh, I really do hate that question. I ask all the time.
I was saying, what is new media from the guy who wrote a book about it?
Exactly, right? Exactly. What is new
media? What are we talking about?
My students, I actually had them read your book about new media and my graduate students. And for many of them, talking about new media was a really new experience. At my institution, our graduate students are largely middle and high school teachers, local from the area, working on their professional credentials. And so many of them don't have a lot of experience with rhetoric and composition as a field, haven't had a lot of experience with digital humanities either. And new media is a question. You know, they enrolled in this class with me, writing new media, and didn't quite know what they were getting themselves into. And in some ways, I would say I wasn't necessarily having them produce a lot of new media either. What is new media, and what does it mean for our field? New media, I really like Lev Manovich's definition of new media, and I really ascribe to the idea of integrated multimodality in a digital, created in a digital environment and disseminated for and within a digital environment. So for me, as a scholar, I've chosen to align myself with arguments and definitions that really focus on the digitality of our new media texts and thinking about the ways in which we rhetorically use various digital modes and put them together and then disseminate them. But that's not true for everybody. And I think, too, I was rereading Claire Lauer's piece in Kairos about, I think it's called What's in a Name? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
And she cites Cheryl Ball, who has this great quote, and talks about accessibility to the digital. And what about our students who do not have access, who, you know, the truth is, in the U.S. today, we still live in a world where many of our students coming to college for the first time, especially first-generation college students, do not have access to a laptop. They don't have access to a desktop. They don't have smartphones, or they share their data plan with their entire family. Or, you know, they have a tablet that's 4 years old and doesn't support the school's Blackboard or what have you. So we have these issues of accessibility, which helps me think about definitions of new media that rely more on this idea of rhetorical awareness of the use of modes and modality instead. Can our students still produce collages of some kind that incorporate fabric and metal and mechanical elements and bring it all together to make an argument even without it being digital? Can we consider that new media? Plenty of scholars in our published literature would say yes, absolutely. In fact, Anne Frances Wysocki does just that at the start of Writing New Media. I love that book. And the first time I read her introduction, I was flabbergasted, right? Like, how could that be new media? It isn't digital. It doesn't make sense. We're not necessarily remediating. Well, the answer to that is, yeah, actually, we are remediating. We just need to think about it in the given rhetorical context. What are our students capable of? What do they have access to? And what can we do with all of that? I think the more that I work with different demographics of students, the more I come to realize the value in seeing new media as something that isn't necessarily digital. At the same time, we have the risk of needing to help those students create things in the digital realm, because that's where their professional jobs will be in the future, right? If they're hoping to break a cycle of poverty or something similar, then what they want is to get a professional job, right? And those jobs rely on the digital. They have to be able to use what we might think of now as basic programs, the Microsoft suite, right? Understanding that there is a difference between the Microsoft suite and the Apple suite, right? What is Pages? Well, it's not Word. How do we talk about that? What does that mean? Is that part of our discussion of new media? Can you produce new media using Pages, right? I think you can. You've got to do some work there. But we also have the issue of how do we teach our students to do all of those things, and what can we expect of them, especially if they haven't had the resources that we ourselves may have. And interestingly enough, we have plenty of scholars and colleagues who are in the same position as those students, who have not produced a PowerPoint before for a scholarly conference, let alone played around with Prezi, which, you know, at this point we might consider a little bit dated in and of itself, right? There are other things that you could do, other innovative ways to approach conference proceedings and to disseminate that information. So we have kind of an interesting spectrum between where our colleagues are, where our students are, and then where the subfield of computers and writing is as well, and how new media plays into all of that. I think I've started to ramble. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. You're actually making me really think that new, and I'm making the air quotes, new is a mobile term. New media may be media that's new to some people at different times. But
right.
Also, I think as scholars in media studies, such as Lisa Gottleman would suggest, new is, what are new media? You know, at some point, the printing press was new media.
Exactly.
So we need that much longer historical sense. Right. And also, I think you're arguing for a localized sense of what is new at any given moment. And a very old medium might be new to someone and to some group of people at any given time.
Absolutely. Even the printing press, in some ways. I had students this past year who had only just heard about the printing press in passing in high school. And when we talked about it in my class, it was a first year composition class, and we were talking about digital and writing technologies. The question came up about whether or not social media is similar or could change the world the way, you know, the Gutenberg press changed the world. They just had this question, like, what's the printing press? It's just a printer, right? And well, I said, well, no, it's not just a printer the way you think of a printer, you know?
That's the problem. New media is always in the process of becoming ubiquitous media that's no longer seen.
Exactly.
And their very materiality and their historicizable materiality is no longer recognized as such. So,
Courtney, the one thing I really appreciated about your article was that, I mean, you did this big inductive analysis of all this published scholarship, and it wasn't as if you were searching for, like, the right definition, right, or something, but instead you gave us frameworks for kind of understanding why scholars sometimes make this move to define, you know, their key terms. And the one thing that really sticks with me is this idea that as you were looking through the scholarship, this framework for understanding these definitions as socially timely, right? So almost getting to Jonathan's point there about sort of, you know, how we define these things, but then responding to a need you know, to sort of be a socially timely definition. I'm wondering if you could just elaborate on that, why you think that's important, or why you found it important to kind of make that a key point in your article, and then kind of maybe give us a sense of kind of what that looks like in the scholarship, how you noted scholars kind of making these socially timely definitions of new media.
Sure. I think socially timely for me is really crucial, because what does it mean for our field to be relevant, right? That's sort of the question for me. And that was the question when rhetoric and composition became a field. How did we become a field? We were relevant because there was a need for our colleagues in English departments to be better equipped to teach students composition, to teach them how to write, to teach them how to engage others rhetorically. So this idea of new media as socially timely and as composing frameworks as socially timely, that comes back to the historical, right? That comes back to this idea that we're living in the 21st century, right? And everything that I'm doing is digital, by and large. You know, my calendar is digital. Every time I draft something, it's digital. You know, I'm talking to you. You're in California. I'm in New Jersey. And that's digital, right? So we have this idea of we've got Kairos, right? We're living Kairos in some ways. But the socially timely, I think, too, is important, right? It's not just that this is timely and this is what's happening in the world today, but that it's somewhat, it's a social interest and it's a social investment. We look back, we think about the Clinton administration, we think about the movement toward teaching our students technology, we think about when computer systems first became, you know, when we first had computer labs in elementary schools, and how that started to change the scene and the scope of not only what we can do and how we think and how we process, but how we write, connect, how we speak with each other. So this idea of the socially timely, for me, really comes down to what we're doing with our assignments as teachers and how we're communicating as colleagues, both to each other within our own departments, but also with popular culture. I think now more than ever, really talking, and people say that all the time, and it's a terrible cliched phrase, right? But we think about the status of higher ed. We're seeing budget cuts across the country, and we're seeing difficulties in bringing in exchange students and foreign students, and we're thinking about politicians who maybe feel that our higher education institutions are failing our students, and we're thinking about trying to do the best things possible for them, for those students, right? So we're living this socially timely endeavor, and we're trying to communicate more about how we write and why we write. And that's really what I saw coming through in our scholarship, right? So you've mentioned my inductive analysis. It's so important for us as a field to continually reevaluate what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it, and to try to connect more purposefully with our students and our student bodies. And I think that's really what new media comes down to, right? Is this idea that it's multimodal, it's interactive, it is digital, it's something we should study, it's something we should teach. It comes down to the idea that it's something that our students need, and it's something that's going to help them socially in the future, in our future. And you know, as Jonathan said, the time period we're living right now perhaps doesn't look like what any of us might have imagined 20 or 30 years ago. But the truth is that, you know, we're not necessarily all cyborgs, although we could certainly make that argument. I've got my phone with me right now, right? But it is socially relevant, and we're always re-articulating what it is that our discipline does and why it does that sort of work. So I think new media is really a case for scholars to make that argument to our current public, our current population, our public, our reading and writing public.
That's a great note on which to end. It's always good to talk to a fellow cyborg. I'm really glad you chose a print venue.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Courtney Werner, author of How Rhetoric and Composition Described and Defined New Media at the Start of the 21st Century. Again, you can read that in the June 2017 issue of CCC. Courtney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too.